Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. A friend of mine that I was in school with at International Bible College back in the day, he used to call this the book of Galatians. Galatians, and I don't know what he meant by that. That's all right though. Galatians chapter 5. Before we read our text, which we were going to refer to the fruit of the Spirit, but not read that, but we're going to start reading in verse 24 in just a moment. The rich young ruler had a big problem. Big problem. He wanted Jesus to tell him, "You're doing just fine, boy. You're doing just fine." That's what he wanted to hear. I mean, when he asked him, "What good thing must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus replied, "Well, keep the commandments." "Well, which ones?" "Well, all of them." But Jesus then went on to name five of the Ten Commandments. And he said, "All these I've kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?" Jesus said, "Well, if you would be perfect, you go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven." And the young man turned and walked away, sorrowful, for he had great riches. He didn't want to give them up. It's obvious by his conduct and his response to Jesus that he had no intention of changing. He was hoping that everything would be fine, that he had done all that he needed to do. That much is obvious. But he did not intend to be different than what he was. Tonight, we're talking about how not to get tired of doing good. How not to grow weary in well-doing. How do you go about that? You know, we're supposed to be about good works. We're supposed to be doing good things. Serving the Lord, coming to church, reading and studying our Bibles, treating people the way we're supposed to, reaching out to folks to help them in their times of need, sharing the gospel with people that are lost, encouraging brethren that are struggling with some spiritual problem. We have good works that we're supposed to be doing. There is benevolent needs that people have that we need to be involved in. There's social needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, physical needs, all kinds of things that people have. There's no limit to the good that we can be doing. You guys are really good about the cards. I really appreciate. I'm thankful so much for Donna and the ladies that help her with our card ministry. And I'm thankful to all of you for taking the time to just sign those cards and writing these little notes. Things like that. This is a good work. A good work. Now, I know these cards that we have to fill out every Sunday morning and Sunday night are kind of burdensome. I know they're kind of burdensome. But that is a good work. And Brother Tom does a good job calculating and keeping up with those things. We need to be busy about doing good work. Not busy work, but good works. You say, "Well, how are these works good?" These cards help us as elders to see patterns. If there's something going wrong, if a person starts missing services repeatedly, then that's an indication that something is wrong. And we need to be able to see that, and this helps us to keep up with who's here and who's not. Because frankly, we don't always remember. But there's so many good works that we can do. I'm so grateful for the prayer. And I'm so thankful, and I speak for Henry as well. We are so thankful for your prayers. We desperately need your prayers. Without God's help, we cannot do the work that we have been assigned to do. We can't do it without God's help. And we need your prayers. And they do make a difference. And they do help. And so we thank you for those. We really do. But we are to be people who are doing good works. And yet, you know, a hot day, it's just so much easier just to go home and sit in the recliner and take a nap than to go do something good, than to go to the trouble of going somewhere else besides home and doing something nice or something good for someone, making a visit, It's always easier to do nothing than it is to do something. Did y'all know that? That's just a rule of life, isn't it? I mean, how hard is it to do nothing? And that's easy, but to do something. And yet it's so easy to get tired of it. So this lesson tonight is about how not to get tired of doing good. And the first thing that I would suggest from our text is that we have to be a different kind of people than what we were. We have to be a different kind of people than what we were. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned in verses 22 and 23. These are things, these are qualities, evidence of being a different kind of person. But read with me verses 24 through 26. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And it's talking about sinful desires and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You live it, you say you live it, then walk it. You talk it, then walk it. It's that simple. And let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let us not be desirous of any kind of evil thing at all, but rather let us walk in good works. Let us be people committed to exhibiting the evidence that God is in us, that God's Spirit is in us. And that was the problem for the rich young ruler. He didn't want to be different. So the first thing I would tell you, if you want to not be tired of doing good, is be a different kind of person. What kind of person is that? Genuine. Real. Be real. You need to be. Now, here, who am I to tell you what you need to be? But please bear with me. You need to be the same person here that you are out there. And you need to be the same person out there that you are in here. When you bow your knees and you offer up prayers to God, you need to be the same kind of person when you're talking to your neighbor or somebody at work or somebody who cuts you off in traffic. You need to be the same person everywhere you go. That's what we're talking about. A different kind of person than the world. Different than the attitudes and philosophies of the world. So that's the first step in not growing weary in well-doing, is be real. Be genuine. Be dedicated to Christ genuinely. Okay? The second is found in verses 1 and 2 of Galatians 6. And that is, we need to be working with others. You know, there's a category on these evaluations that may be on job evaluations, it may be a school evaluation about somebody, and it's kind of a put down. It's kind of a bad thing, but you check this box and it says does work well or play well with others. Oh my. You definitely don't want that ever said about you. Does not work well or play well with others. We are involved with other people. We're not hermits. We are not an island. No man is an island. But we are involved with other people. And so Galatians 6, 1 and 2, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We talked about this in class a few weeks ago, that the burdens that we bear, that we help each other with, are the burdens of life, those things that happen to us. And the tragedy strikes. Hard times come. Hardships of all kinds come. And it's necessary that we help each other with those burdens. You have your responsibility that we read about in verse 5. That's not what it's talking about. I can't do for you what God requires you to do. And you can't do for me what God requires me to do. What I have to do, though, is when you fall down, I need to be there to try to help you up. And when I fall down, you need to do the same thing for me. You need to try to help me up. And we help each other get to heaven. That's a phrase that we've had going around here at Tanner for more than 20 years, is helping each other get to heaven. That really is a good motto for the way we're to live and the way we're to treat one another. But we have to be involved with other people. Jesus was definitely involved in other people's lives. Wherever he went, he touched people. And I'm not talking just with his hands, but he touched them by the way he dealt with people, by the attitude that he displayed, by the words that he said, the kindness that he expressed to other people, and of course the miracles, the good deeds that he did to others. And many people came to Jesus because he was there for them, and they knew it. He knew that they cared about him. What is that old saying when we're trying to convert someone to Christ? People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And if we are involved with people, they're going to see that we truly care, or they're going to see that we truly don't. And if we don't, then certainly that's obviously not like Jesus did. So how not to grow weary in well-doing? Be involved with people. Care about them. And if you care about people, then you won't get tired of them. Oh, you will get tired, but you will not be tired of them if you truly care about them. Care for each other. Care about each other. The third thing is that it's found in verses 3 through 5, do not depend or do not base your own sense of work based on the opinions that others have about you. Don't let others' opinions of you determine who you are and the work that you're doing, whether your work is good or not. You don't worry about what other people think or what other people say regarding the good work that you're doing. You do the Lord's work, and you let others have their opinions. You're always going to have people that will be critical. Isn't that right? There's always going to be critical people. There's always going to be the critics out there. And the critics, I don't know why, but they criticize. As the song is, haters going to hate, and critics going to crit. And that's just the way it is. People going to criticize. You can't let that determine who you are. You cannot let that be the thing that decides. Look at verses 3 through 5. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Well, obviously that's not somebody criticizing you. That's your own wrong opinion of yourselves. But let every man prove his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. You're not dependent upon somebody else patting you on the back. You see, if my purpose in doing a good work is to be seen of men, what did Jesus say? I have my reward. If men see me and they praise me, that's all I'm going to get. Now, this is not to say that if somebody catches you doing good, oh my, you lose your reward. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about your purpose, your attitude. So if your attitude is, I want people to see me doing good works so they can brag on me, then that's all the reward you're going to get out of that. God's not going to reward you for that. But you doing good work, and you don't worry about whether people notice or not. Do you know what the heart of a true servant is? The heart of a true servant is somebody who's willing to wash the wrinkled, stinking feet of an old man or an old woman in a room by themselves with no one ever knowing about it and no one ever seeing it. Character is who you are when no one is watching. And that's what we're talking about here. If you prove yourself by the works that you do, it doesn't matter if anybody ever knows about it. It doesn't matter if anybody ever commends you. It doesn't matter if anybody ever pats you on the back. God will see, God will know, and he's the one you're serving anyway. So you don't depend upon somebody else. Well, they don't even care. I'm up here working myself to death, and they don't even care. Well, why should I even keep going? Now, that's how to get weary in well-doing. If you're needing the praise of others, That's how you get tired of doing good, because you're not always going to get praise. Every now and then it's going to come to you. You know that. Every now and then you're going to, but a lot of times you won't. And if that's why you're doing it, you're going to get tired of doing good. You're going to quit. Well, if that's the way they're going to be, I'll just quit. And they do. And that's one reason why this building is as empty as it is. Because so many people depend on those pats on the back, and they depend on somebody to hold up their hand instead of proving their own work, and then they shall have rejoicing in themselves alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. You and I have a responsibility. Brothers and sisters, let's face that fact. We have a responsibility to do good. We have a responsibility to serve God. We have a responsibility not to give up on doing the good works. And even when we get tired, Jesus is perfectly fine with us taking a nap. He's perfectly fine with us getting a good night's sleep and having a good breakfast in the morning before we set out. He's perfectly fine with us living our lives and raising our families, working in our jobs, even doing our hobbies and enjoying recreation and entertainment. He is fine with that. All kept in balance. That even when you're enjoying yourself, you're still trying to glorify God. Not only by conducting yourself as a child of God, but by being involved in doing good at wherever you can find an opportunity. If you see somebody in the grocery store who is obviously having a terrible day, what should you do? Well, I'm not going to speak to them. I'm going to walk on and do my thing. You know, how much help might it be if you just tell them, hey, you know, I don't know what the struggle is, but I just want you to know I'll be praying for you. And just walk on. And you don't know what kind of lift that may give that person. You may help save somebody's life. They may be at the point of simply saying, I give up. And they're going home with the intention of ending their own life. It happens every day. And a kind word from somebody, a kind word spoken at the right time, can make all the difference in the world, sometimes between life and death. So you never know what kind of good works or what your good works might accomplish. So don't depend on the opinions of others or the praise of others, and you will not get tired of doing good works. You'll get tired from it, but not tired of it. Now, look at verses 6 through 8 now. We're going to talk about looking forward to our reward. That's the next thing. Keep in mind the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Keep in mind the reward at the end of this life. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, he will also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. This is a promise from God, brethren. We often look at this passage in the negative. We do. We look at this in the negative. We'll say, oh, you know, brother, you better not do that. Don't forget, what you sow, you'll reap. Don't forget, it's going to come back on you. Man, if you do that, you better watch it. You better watch it. And that's the negative. But there's a positive. What you sow, you will reap. There's coming a harvest. God knows the good that you're doing. He knows the effort that you're making. He can see it. And He's going to reward you if you'll remain faithful to the end. See, this is the thing we sometimes forget about the law of sowing and reaping. God promised us heaven. He promised it to us. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6, 12 and 19. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We have it. It's ours. It's a promise that God made to us. Heaven is going to be the home of God's faithful people. Be one of those folks. Don't miss that. And you'll not grow weary in well-doing if you can keep the prize in your mind. Now, somebody says, why? You know, that's kind of self-serving, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you're just all about being a Christian just so you can go to heaven, well, you're just in it for yourself. Let me tell you something. It was not us who asked for heaven. It was Jesus who offered it. It was Jesus who spoke of it. Okay? He spoke of heaven as a place, as an ultimate reward for his faithful followers. The writers of the New Testament did the same. We need to recognize heaven is a realistic goal. It's a goal we can reach. By God's grace and help, we will get to heaven. But we got to keep working. We got to keep serving, and we've got to keep trying. You just don't give up. Don't forget about heaven. Lastly, 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. And finally, verses 9 and 10, the last thing I'll mention about how to not get tired of doing good is going to be found in these two verses, verse 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. He says, as we have therefore opportunity. Therefore is a conclusion word. All that he has said leads up to therefore. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Do not stop doing good works. Do not stop doing good works. Be active in doing those good works. Don't just sit and wait for opportunities. Go looking for them. Christians were made to do good works. Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This needs to be the walk of our life, is the good deeds, the good works that we can do. We need to be zealous to do good. Titus 2:14. We need to be careful not to forget to do good works. Titus 3:8. The point is, brethren, go ahead and be about doing good. Let me tell you what happens when you do good. I'm going to tell you what happens. When Cameron baptized Presley a few weeks ago. No, Crimson. He looked at me and shook his head and said, no. By the way, I'm sorry, Troy and Leanne, but you named them wrong. Should have flipped that. And she'd have been playing football. Anyway, when Crimson baptized Presley a few weeks ago, what was the point I was going to make? I don't have a clue. I do feel good about it, but anyway. No, when he baptized her, this came after he had been studying with her. They had had questions and answers. They had looked in Scripture. You know, he had put in the work. He had taught. She had learned. And you know what? When he came up, or when he brought her up out of that water, it was the look on his face is something you cannot understand. You can't imagine it unless you've experienced it. That joy, that satisfaction, that peace that comes when you know you've done something that God wants you to do. And brethren, when you do something good, when you do something that God wants you to do, there is a peace that will settle on your heart. There is a joy that will fill your soul to overflowing. When you know that you are doing what God wants you to do, you don't want to quit. You don't want to quit. Rick, You like going to the jail? Don't answer out loud. I know you do. He'll take over my sermon. He loves going to the jail. And those guys love him. And it breaks his heart to have to get up and walk out because he wants to teach more. And I know that's so true with so many of you that are involved in doing things like that. There is a satisfaction that comes to us, a blessing from the Lord, a peace that passes all understanding that will settle on us and fill our hearts with joy when we are doing something that we know God wants us to do. How could I even ever feel like quitting? So, let me wrap this up. You've listened so well. Number one, you got to be different. You got to be real. You got to be committed to doing the Lord's work, not just putting on a show. Because I promise you, if all you're doing is putting on a show, playing church, just showing up, you will not show up for long. You will not show up for long. And you're not going to be able to endure during the heat of the day. You're not going to be able to endure during the tough times that surely come to all. So you got to be different than you were. And you got to be truly committed to Him. Number two, you got to be involved with people. You got to really care about people. And if you don't care about people, okay, you know, everybody gets to that to moments in life when they just don't feel like they care. But you let something happen to a little child in front of you, and what are you going to do? You're going to grab that little baby and you're going to pick it up and you're going to help it any way you can. You do care. You're just getting tired. You're just getting tired. And sometimes we get tired of beating our heads against a wall because somebody's not responding or they're not listening or they're not recognizing that we're trying to help them, and they're fighting us when we're trying to do good and try to be helpful to them. And so there is a frustration level that comes. But you truly care about people, you won't quit. You never give up on your family, do you? You know why? Because you care about them. So we got to learn to care about others. And then you got to judge yourself, not let others judge you. Judge yourself based on the good works that you do according to the Scriptures. Judge yourself. You're doing the work that God commands you to do. That's what you're supposed to be doing, whether you get a pat on the back or not. And then number four, don't forget about heaven. Don't forget the reward that's coming if we will be faithful. And finally, be active in doing the good works, and it will bring such a joy in your heart you don't want to ever quit. Well, that's how not to grow weary in well-doing, based on what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through chapter 6, verse 10. I hope this has been helpful and encouraging to you. It certainly is helpful to me. If there is in your life something that would keep you from being able to go to heaven tonight, should this be your last day on earth, what are you going to do about it? Seriously. There's nothing we can do about it. We can't help you with that. We can't. We can sing a song of encouragement, and we will. And we can pray for you, and we will, and we do. But this, you got to fix this. You got to fix this. We can't fix it for you. Nobody can fix it for you. This is between you and God. And if there's anything that's standing between you and God,